Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to my program. This is Mud Toe Sasquatch speaking to you this humid Friday morning in my large city in the Midwest. Thank you for joining me. This is the Uncommon Shaman. That's a name, a nickname that was given to me by my brother David Two Crows, renowned author and shaman in his own right, who sees the wisdom and indeed the necessity in celebrating difference, celebrating the odd, and saw in me something that was shamanistic. I don't know that I exactly see it, but he does, and I'll go with that. And Chief Iggy does, and I'll go with that too. But if I am shamanistic, I certainly am a different kind of shaman, an odd bird for a shaman. And again, totally accept that. And so this show is about that, about the celebrating difference and celebrating oddness and a, I don't know if I can say unique perspective. I guess everybody's perspective is unique, which doesn't always, there's a saying in recovery, you're terminally unique just like everyone else. So I have a unique perspective just like everybody else. It's just the perspectives are different, that's all. And I'm going to talk about bricks today, but let me back up a little bit first. You are listening to the withinsightsradio.com channel of blogtalkradio.com, and thank you for doing so. Please visit our website, withinsightsradio.com. And look at some of our other offerings on the network. Also, I'd like to make you aware that this is listener-supported radio, and donations are always appreciated. The donations go to defray the costs of having these programs, mainly the cost of bandwidth and of the services that Blog Talk Radio provides to us, which are not terribly expensive, but they are there. So. End of PSA. Now, back to what I started to talk about. I've got the title of today's episode, which is the 16th episode of the Uncommon Shaman. But we're not threatening Mud Toe at midnight yet, but Mud Toe at midnight weighed in at about 250 episodes before it was over with. Morphed, I don't know if it was exactly over with, it just morphed into this show. And now we're at 16 episodes, which is a healthy count. We're not, it's not a show in its infancy anymore. It begins to take on a shape of its own, a personality of its own, perhaps. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just me talking still for half an hour, just a little bit earlier in the evening. I don't know. I do this show for you, but I do it mostly, I do it mostly for me, and I don't say that as a... I don't feel that's a selfish thing. I think that the purpose of the show is for me to put these words out into the universe and hope that spirit carries them to someone who needs to hear them. And certainly they're not, I'm not saying that it's, these words emerge from my intelligence. They are given to me by spirit, and I try to be as true to, I hope that my, I pray that my intentions align with those of spirit, let's put it that way. So here we are, and I'm going to talk about bricks. The title of the episode is The Tao of Bricks. And that's going to be the title of a blog entry, come now long-expected blog entry. I keep promising that I'm going to pay more attention to that blog. One way to pay attention to the blog would be to pay Iggy for having it registered with the registry people. I can't remember, IAF, who is it? Whoever it is that registers domain names. He has a bunch of them. I don't know exactly how it works, but he has a registry or a number of, I don't know how it works, but I was supposed to give him $10 a month, and I haven't for a while. Of course, that time I wasn't working, and now I am, so I don't have an excuse. So I got to get that bill caught up, and I got to start actually utilizing that resource. need to get back to writing, back to get that writing machine cranked back up again. So I went back to a piece that I wrote some months ago that was about sort of a kinship or a relationship, I guess I feel, a connection with brick or bricks, depending on how you want to put it. I think of it as brick, like a brick wall or a brick house. But other people think of it as you know, like a pile of bricks, whatever. I always call it a pile of brick, even though they're not. That's how I learned. The first job I ever had was at a brick factory, the first real job I ever had. And so you just call it brick. In the mass, it's brick, you know, 5,000 brick or whatever. Just the way I learned to think of it and speak of it. And a connection to that time, that early time when I had so much energy and so much hope. I was so much less the cynical mud toe that I am now. And it's even hard for me to remember that version of mud toe. And the closest I come is when I think of these sort of themes that go through you know, that part of my life to this one. And one of those themes is that warm, fuzzy feeling I get when there's brick around. And I wanted to think about some reasons for that. You know, what is that connection? And I don't know that I did it so well in that first piece. That first piece, I was more concerned with the fate of a particular brick building, and also of a particular person that I had developed some feelings for. Well, that other person is no longer in my life, and that is a good thing. And the building, a bad thing did happen. You know, the business operating, and it did go out of business. And I thought, well, that's the end. You know, there's going to be a bulldozer knocking down that beautiful building, but now somebody's back in there operating it again. So maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope. But then out front, there was some. I can't even remember if I mentioned this in the first article before. Out in front of the building where I live, first of all, the building where I live is made out of brick. And the previous place I lived, the building was made out of brick. I like it. I like brick. It gives me a good feeling. It's not a Three Little Pigs kind of thing where I feel secure because there's brick, or I feel more secure with brick than with wood or steel or anything else you might build a house out of. It's brick is a friendly presence, I think. You know, a familiar presence to me is something I learned. Again, it takes me back, as I said, to that time when I feel like I was happier. I knew what my purpose was. My purpose was to go to the brickyard every day and do my part to get those brick out the door. It was a very uncomplicated time. I was married. I had a daughter who didn't live with me, and a stepson who did. A house close to the downtown area. We could walk to where all the downtown shopping was. We were near the river. You know, there was a river that went through the downtown area where we lived. It was a smaller city, not big like the city I'm in now. Riverfront area where I could walk the dog. We had a nice brick house. Inside had a fireplace. It was the best I'd lived. I mean, if you're thinking of it in terms of, what the heck just happened? Hold on. Mud toe does not multitask very well. Something just popped up on my internet. Let me investigate. No, I think we're all still here. Okay, sorry about that interruption. I can't. You know, something happens. I'm watching. There's this thing on the screen called the studio, I think. Is that what they call it? Anyway, it's my connection with Blog Talk and all the various things that are happening right now, which aren't a lot because I use it at sort of the simplest level. I'm just talking into the phone right now, and it's taking my phone call and broadcasting it to the internet. Then I see something change on the screen, and I feel like I have to investigate it because my first fear always is that I've been cut off somehow. And you're being deprived of my wisdom, and I can't have that. So then I just shut everything down for 30 seconds. I shut the show down for 30 seconds and get up and see if I can try and make that, figure out what's going on. And, of course, it's 99 times out of 100, it's nothing. And there's this whole big, long interruption that comes nothing. And then I come back to it, and I can't remember what I was talking about, which is exactly what has happened. I have no idea what I was talking about before the computer went kablooey. It didn't go with kablooey. It just said something changed on the screen. It was probably, I remember talking about the house before, the brick house. And I guess by whatever standard it is you measure goodness, happiness, rightness, those are the highest rung up on those meters. You know, like the old time, I don't know if video games still work this way, but in the old days, you would give your characters ratings, you know, as if their speed is 93 and their strength is 88 and their agility is whatever, and something out of 100, and it can't be, you know, you can't, I guess, that's probably when video games started to fall apart for me, was when you could create a character that was 100, 100, 100 across the board, you know, and indestructible, undefeatable character, and even if you did screw up and lose, you could just push a button and start over with you'll live forever and all that. And I said, what's the point? Mortality defines us, so it works the same in games as it does in life. If there's no way to lose, the game doesn't mean anything. But I kind of felt that way as I was saying the other way about the that's probably when those little, those 0 to 100 numbers of mine were at their highest level. I don't know if anything was 100, but they're all in 90s. You know, relationship would have been in the 90s, and comfort would have been in the 90s. I mean, we weren't made of money, but we had a nice place, and didn't really want for anything. Relationship with family, same. My job satisfaction, same. Did I mention relationship? I was married fairly happily. I don't know. I didn't really have much to compare it to. My first marriage was an ongoing disaster. So my second marriage being not so much of an ongoing disaster, it was hard for me to be objective about it. Second, especially since I was living in deadly fear that, I would fail a second time at marriage, which, I did. But, not wanting to fail caused me to overlook a lot of issues that were there from the very beginning. But at the time, I was still working in the brick plant, and we had this life that was sort of built around that. At the time, I was not realizing those things that were fundamentally wrong with our marriage. I managed to push them out of my head, so maybe that 90 plus rating was something of a mirage, so to speak. But at the time, that's how I felt about my life. So I guess I'm not thinking about how my life was. I'm thinking about how I felt about my life. And while I don't think about my wife, my second wife, really at all anymore, except for purposes of these sort of exercises, because she doesn't, in my everyday thinking, she doesn't come up, and my stepson never comes up, that house and that town seldom come up, but that job comes up a lot when I'm thinking about things. And that job of manufacturing bricks and other ceramic articles, and the bricks we made were for industry more than for construction, but the general idea is the same. And so when I go into a place, I see, what was it, the name of the place? I went to a place to see some storytelling once, and the wall was made of some industrial brick, and I knew, oh yeah, we used to make that. Tell you exactly how you do that. It's one of those things, it's like a Play-Doh fun factory. It's cut off like with a wire, and then sometimes they get flipped around and they get different kind of impressions on them. Little pins go through it to make those holes and all that, done with a clay, sort of the consistency of Play-Doh, but a coarser grain. You know, as you, if you see a brick, it's got sort of sandy type of particles in it and gravelly type of particles in it, maybe. And what you do is you take the, you know, a range of sizes, and then that way the little particles can all pack together. As opposed to, if you see, you go to the store and you see, like Walmart, and you see one of those big bins that are full of beach balls, and the beach balls are all sort of the same size, so there's like big holes, right, in between, like big spaces, because, you know, the balls, they don't fit together, they can only touch in like one spot, and there's a big hole in it. Whereas if you have a bin that's got balls of different sizes, then the smaller ones can fit in the spaces in between the bigger ones, and you get a better packing. Well, the same thing works with your formula for a brick, you know, and those gravel and sand and like flour, and so just different sizes of stuff that you put in it, packed together to make a better brick. Then sometimes you don't want it packed together so tight, because if it gets very strong and very dense, it's also can be more brittle and easy to break. So there's lots of science that goes into this, and there's a lot of art that goes into it as well, because we'd have guys in our factory who had been 20, 30 years, and I'd do my calculations and figure out, because you got to adjust for the moisture of the ingredients is the main thing, but other things too. And these guys, these old guys out of the plant would eyeball it, basically. And, you know, theirs would come out just as well, if not better, as the ones that I carefully figured out on my TI-35 calculator. So you had to run some respect, you know, there. And I heard a gentleman, a friend of mine, tell a story about workers in China who were sorting out, like, the, you know, they get the raw materials and they need to be sorted by size. So you knew if you had big ones and middle ones and small ones. And they would just, you know, squat by the side of the road and sort these things out. And this is, they were every bit as accurate as a sorting machine. It's just the amount of experience and I think the attachment to the job. And that's one thing. I don't know that I've ever formed an attachment to a job. I formed an attachment to that product, you know, the product of brick or, you know, other types of ceramic. And it gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling, a nostalgic feeling. So I think back upon, you know, the good things in my life. It's sort of representative of that. But I've never felt that way about a job. And maybe that means I've never had the right one. What do you think? You know, I've been told many, many times that I've never had, you know, I believe I've never been in love. I've been close, but I've never reached a point where I want to be with this person all the time, and I can't live without them. I thought I was, and then it ended, and I survived. You know, I moved on fairly easily. In fact, it's almost scary how easily I have moved on from someone I really didn't think I had. A lady friend from North Carolina, whom I was very attached to, and she went back to her ex-husband, who he had an illness, and she felt responsible for him. And I was horribly mean to her for years after that, because she'd left me. You know, we were still in contact, and I don't know why she agreed to keep that up, but she did. And but I would make all manner of snide comments. I think we were in contact through it was a different person. That's it. We had a mutual friend, and that's what sort of kept us. We were moving in the same circles because of that. And she had every right to tell me to go to hell, you know, for the attitude that I was taking with her. And she never did. And we remained friends. But even through all of that, you know, I got over it in a few days, and I was functioning fine. And I was I was a bit disappointed in myself because of that. I've kind of gone afar of my topic now. I'm sitting here desperately trying to think in the next 10 minutes how I'm going to bring this back to bricks. Because it's the Tao of bricks. I guess the idea of a Tao is, you know, the sort of a menu for living. And, the idea of bricks maybe occupying that part of my life, and what is it about bricks? That's what I'm going to write about when I get to the blog entry. That's the Tao. That's what clues do I draw from this affinity with bricks and ceramic products that could give me a guide to, or is it is a reflection? You say the things we see, the people we in our lives are reflections of ourselves, and I think the things that we, you talk about your spirit animal. Your spirit animal, I think, is equally a reflection of yourself. Well, maybe you can also have spirit objects. And maybe my spirit object is brick. And I have to, don't have to, but I certainly could, explore my peculiar alignment with that object. Is not just what is it about it that, not just what is it about brick that attracts me, but what is it about brick that reflects me? What of myself do I see, and what of myself is it showing me? I wrote something in that first article. That's the first. The second article is, or the new article is going to be a reworking of the first one, with that information, sort of the information that I've just been talking about, and also out in front of the building where I live, there used to be a brick sidewalk. Just very much a throwback. It probably goes back. It wouldn't surprise me to find out it went back 100 years. It's just a little piece of sidewalk, and nothing's left. It's just somehow one of those little pieces of the past that survived. I know when I was growing up in the city long ago, there's this area out on the north edge of town that when we first arrived here was mostly farms, and then it became the shopping mecca. They built shopping malls. They built shopping malls over all the farms. And then the powers that be built new shopping malls in another part of the city, and the ones in that part of the city died, and other things have sprouted up since. But driving through there, there's like one farmhouse left that didn't get bought up or didn't get knocked down for whatever reason. There's just a relic sitting there after all this time, and I think this sidewalk was like that. And it was beautiful. It was once, you could tell, it was once red brick. It had kind of faded. But the thing was, it was collapsing. There had been, water had gotten underneath it, and you get the freezes and the thaws, and some of them fallen out, and some of it had cracked and whatnot. So the city came along with their trucks and their jackhammers and whatever, and they took all the brick out, and it's gone. And I feel sad that it's gone. Although it's interesting, it's sort of like an excavation, because all that stuff that's underneath. That was, that was the sort of rock bed that was put down before they put the before they put that sidewalk down, and that stuff's been sitting there undisturbed for 100 years. And then I didn't get to see all of it. I was wondering if anything had been left behind, like maybe a box with a singing frog in it or something. But I don't know if anybody found anything like that. But when I came back from work tonight, they had poured concrete over all of it. That's all modern and scientific, like that guy in Moby Dick said. But I think the charm of the brick is gone. It would have been nice if since that was the sort of the original look of the area, that they had maybe made some attempt to put the brick back. And I think if this had been a nice neighborhood, if this had been a neighborhood of nice, sweet-smelling people with $1,500 a month apartments and trendy stores and all that, I think they might have considered putting the brick back the way it was. But since the neighborhood is what it is, I think we got the concrete job, and we should be glad we got it. And, you know, the concrete job is causing me some troubles, too, because they have to keep closing down half of the street. And since I come back home late, I generally end up walking 3 or 4 blocks home. I was worried about my car because I've had my car towed before and just did not notice that I wasn't supposed to park where I parked. And I always get paranoid when I park my car someplace I'm not used to parking it. And it's so far away. You know, I used to routinely, back in the old days, like back where I used to live, near the university district, I would routinely have to park 3 and 4 blocks away. And they would also, you know, it's football season coming up, and I lived on the main drag right to the football stadium, which meant all the people who lived there all year long had to clear out their vehicles because we have to keep it keep everything clear for the football fans to get to the stadium. So I count myself blessed that I don't have to do that anymore. But the brick people came, the concrete people came, and I had to get out of their way. And it's come up on 2 weeks now, and it's going to be at least another week before they're done. Makes me sore, I guess, as the guy on King, as Robert Armstrong in King Kong said. I feel, you know, I'm 51 years old. I've been working for 30 years. I think I've earned a spot relatively close to my door. I put a thing up on Facebook a few days ago. I said, as a sort of fanciful thing, I said, my new apartment is going to sit on one corner, and there's going to be sushi places on the other 3 corners. And all the other tenants in the building are going to be single women, and there's going to be hot and cold running Wi-Fi. I said, but most important of all, there's going to be off-street parking. And I've been in this city, by the time I get ready to move next year in February, I will have lived in this city for 9 years and been parking on the street the whole time. And I think it's time for me to move up from that. I don't want to... Of course, the chief fear you always get from parking on the street is somebody's going to come along and take your mirror off. You know, you see that a lot. You see, it's just, you know, there's like a row of cars with the mirrors hanging down by the wires. You know, someone's come along and just accidentally or on purpose given it a whack, and that was it. I have to work tomorrow. That's kind of a bummer. It's not that it's so hard. It's not that anything I have to do is so hard. It's just there's so much of it. And I got a tongue lashing from my boss about the pace at which work is proceeding. But then that got sort of subdued by the fact that they were at our house for an audit, and they found lots of things wrong with what they had done before I got here. You know, people who were running the house or trying to run it, you know, before I got there, they found that there was quite a bit of stuff wrong that didn't have anything to do with me. So I think that helps keep me off the hook. But the paperwork has sort of a 1-year cycle. You're supposed to replace paperwork completely every year. So, I mean, I think it's going to take that long for me to get everything, you know, to get my sort of signature, my stamp on everything. And it's kind of the same way as it was making bricks. Maybe that's where our gestalt comes in today's program. Anyway, keep a look out for that on mudtoesasquatch.com. I'll try and get that blog entry ready in the next couple days. And I hope you'll join me for more wit and wisdom next week. I'll probably be coming back from the ballet. I've been I wanted to say hoodwinked, that's not the right word, but could be going to the ballet, so I may actually start the show from there, you never know. Okay, thanks for joining me, and I wish you a pleasant good evening.